I'm Cherry Lane Genoway calling to order the July 26, 2022 meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council Executive Board. This meeting is being recorded and Meredith Tolemy will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Desiree, if you could please put the flag up.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. And Elizabeth, could you please call roll?
Yes, Elizabeth Busick, present. Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Jean Hernandez. John Pointer.
Present.
Dave Tesloff, we know is absent. Meredith Chalimi.
Present.
And Carolyn Inman.
Present.
Okay, we have a quorum.
Okay, great. Thank you. And welcome to the board, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Okay, now it's time for public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the board regarding any item within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Desiree, are there any requests to speak?
We did not receive any requests to speak in advance, and there are no members of the public present this morning.
Okay, thank you. So public comments is now closed, and we are on to action items, AB 361. Review and make findings required by Government Code subsection 54953E3. Is there a motion to recommend that we continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of an emergency arising from COVID-19? Meeting in person presents imminent risks to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person.
I move.
A move by Elizabeth. Is there a second? Seconded by Carolyn. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye. Aye. Oh no, we need to do a roll call. Desiree's gonna catch me on that. Okay.
No worries. So we had a motion by Elizabeth Busick. So Elaine Genoway?
Aye.
Jean Hernandez is absent. John Pointer? I believe you're muted,
John.
Yes, sorry, I can't move fast enough. Yes.
Okay. Dave Tetzloff is absent. Meredith Chalemi?
Aye.
And Carolyn Inman seconded. So that is majority chair.
Okay. So the motion passes. Thank you. Now we are on to Office on Aging updates. And Erica is on vacation. So Jeanette Ravilla will from the Office on Aging will provide us with the update. You're muted.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me. You know, as you guys know, Erica is currently on a much needed time off, time away from the office. So I will try to make this brief. So for the updates from the Office on Aging, we do have the OC Master Plan for Aging Assessment RFP being re-released. The original RFP was canceled because of potential conflicts of interest from applicants who might want to bid on follow-up work and contracts that resulted from the assessment outcomes. The new revised RFP scope of work to reduce, will basically reduce those potential conflicts. The second update that I have for the Office on Aging is just some of the upcoming funding allocations and programs from CDA. As you all know, we did receive CDA ARPA funds for our regular Older Americans Act programs. And I am actually going to, you know, we actually had already awarded the contracts for years 2 and 3 of the ARPA, CDA ARPA fund. So we got a 3-year allocation for that, and we are heading into years 2 and 3 with the new awardees. We also got Older Adults Recovery and Resilience Funds, or the OR funds, for the senior employment program, and also for intergenerational meals, family caregiver support program, and legal assistance, and also the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program. So that one, those are going to be hopefully rolled out by October. And we also are forthcoming, we just submitted our proposal for the HCBSO home and community-based services. So these are going to be catered towards or centered towards nutrition infrastructure. NCDA is reviewing our proposal right now for all the equipment that or infrastructure improvements that we're looking into for our providers. And lastly, I believe the CDA just released the upcoming access to technology program. That's going to be a non-competitive bid at the state level, and it's awarded to counties who wants to participate. And that's going to be hopefully coming soon from CDA in October as well. And lastly, and I know Meredith has a question regarding the RFP, so I'll circle back to that in a bit. But my last update is for staffing. We are going to be filling 3 staff specialist positions via an agency-wide recruitment. And we're also going to be recruiting for 3 manager positions. So we're adding 3 staff specialists and 3 managers to our team. So going back to Meredith's question, does the RFP include a budget framework? So usually it does. So
it didn't last time I was on the panel, and that was one of the snafus.
Yeah, that's probably why they had to re-revise and re-release it. Yeah. So it usually does. So I will follow up with that on that question. And if Erica's not back yet, I'll definitely provide an update for that. So I'm just gonna note that question before I forget.
Oh, thank you so much.
No problem. Does anyone else have any questions so far on any of the updates that I provided?
Yes, on the funding, and you just outlined a number of different areas that is going to the OR funding. Can you please provide us a list of actually where these resources are going to, what organizations or service providers, and what it is they're providing? So we have a more, I guess, a better understanding of what is actually being done in our community with these funds.
Absolutely. I can do that to follow. I'll definitely provide a list. And some of them are going to be pending only because we haven't quite gotten the funds yet. So if we haven't received the funds yet, I'll probably put TBD or pending on those funds until we figure out what CDA wants us to do with those funds.
But okay, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, just sometimes it's a little bit nebulous as far as, we hear about the funding coming and know it's going to certain things, but can't put our finger quite on it. So that would,
I think there are so many funding streams coming out. So it's hard to keep track.
Yeah, so it'd be crazy for like another 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just keep the funds going, huh?
Exactly. I wish
we'll take all that they'll give us.
Exactly. Me too. Yeah. Also, thank you. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Do you have our July SCAC meeting, the one prior, we had to review our bylaws because the Board of Supervisors requested. They were updating them again to match the template for the county, and they were all supposed to go before the Board of Supervisors in July. Do you have a status update for us on whether or not the Board of Supervisors have addressed it, approved it? Where does it stand with SCAC's bylaws?
Let me follow up on that as well. I haven't heard anything yet, but it could be there's some communication that I might not be a part of that, might be in Erica's queue. So yes, I'll follow up on the bylaws if it's been approved.
Because that makes some changes. That did make some changes for SCAC, and we need to know how to move forward on that.
Got it. So I'll follow up with the BOS approved SCAC bylaws, and I'll follow up with the list of programs for the new funding sources.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much.
Any other questions on the update? Well, thank you for attending our meeting. You are welcome to stay, or I don't know, you may have other things to get on to, whatever you want to do, but we appreciate your being here and stepping in for Erica. And yes, we do know it's a very well-deserved break for her. She works very hard for the seniors and veterans in the county.
Yes, absolutely. I'll stay around. Thank you,
guys. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so now on to the chair report. Just a couple of things. It was brought to my attention yesterday, and I was not aware of it before, is that Phil Orland has resigned from SCAC.
Oh.
He resigned back in May, but the letter was just sent to Supervisor Chafee's office, and neither myself nor the board received that. So just to update you, so Phil has resigned from SCAC. We do have a number of openings, and there are some areas where we really do need to have members so that there's representation. And I'm thinking more like north central, northwest part of the county, around the Los Alamitos, Las Palmas, La Habra area. And there's other pockets, and you'll see that when Carolyn, we have the senior center liaison list, but there are some definite voids, and there's also some voids in the demographics that are represented. And I find it's always helpful when we have people who are either very involved in their senior centers, or we have people who work on senior issues in a professional capacity, because they bring a lot of information to SCAC. And they provide that dimension for us to look at how senior services are being provided and what we should look at. So people who work in the professional area, or people who are, you know, heavily volunteering in their community, would be great candidates for SCAC. So, you know, keep your eyes out. Now with Phil, we've had 5 seats vacated. And we just had 2 filled, though, but we had some vacancies prior to that. So, you know, I my personal philosophy on any committee is I'd rather have the true number. I don't want to fill it with bodies just to say we have people and they're not working or they're not participating. So we do want people who are participating, but I know for many years on SCAC, there wasn't any room for them at the table because of the limited number of positions there are on SCAC, but there is now. So please look in your communities, and I will continue to do that as well.
Would it be appropriate, Elaine, to work with the senior center director, like I'm thinking Fountain Valley?
Yeah, that would be fine if they have any candidates.
Yeah.
I'm always happy to talk to them. You know, feel free to give them my contact information. They do need to understand that this is kind of a working committee, and you do have volunteer hours, and you also need to be on a standing committee as well and participate in that, because it's through the standing committees is how we get the input for what we're going to deliver to the Board of Supervisors when we identify the needs of seniors in Orange County. So
it's not honorary.
And also keep in mind, you don't have to be a senior. I know sometimes people say, oh, I'm not a senior. Well, and especially when people who are working in the professional capacity, they may not be a senior. Our membership needs to be 50% plus 1 seniors, and we're well beyond that. So, please, you know, don't limit yourself age-wise. We're fine with that. But I'm more concerned about the geographic locations, the demographics that we have, different groups represented. Mm-hmm. And also, it would be nice to have more professionals. I know we did have some who worked in the meal delivery with Meals on Wheels, but then I know she had to resign because, especially during COVID, it became an issue with the workload. So, you know, be looking at those different areas that you may come into contact with. And like I said, I'd be happy to talk to them.
Now, have we looked at all of the committees to see if there are people who are already serving on a committee, if they might be interested in coming to SCAC as well?
Well, I'll reach out to the standing committee chairs to see. Usually, though, generally my experience has been those on the standing committees just want to do that specific.
Yeah.
But I will, that's a good point, Carolyn, and I'll reach out to the standing committee chairs.
You would already know what we're doing. That part would be good, but mm-hmm. it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah. And it is reaching out. Like last time when they had the city selection committee meeting in May, I reached out to all the mayors. Mm-hmm. And that's how we got a Mayor Morales mm-hmm. on SCAC.
Yeah.
So, but we do have some openings. So city selection, we can only fill twice a year. But there are some openings in some of the supervisors. Some of them have openings. They each have two appointees. Some only have one. And then we also have a number of SCAC executive board appointments that we could make. Okay. And then with the new bylaws, keep in mind, as soon as we find out that they've been approved by the Board of Supervisors, that does change how the executive board comes to be, because our appointments had always been 2-year appointments or 2-year positions. And now the county's preference is that they be 1-year positions. So what that would mean is that at the end of this year, we are all up for re-election. And there's no longer, per the bylaws, no longer a nominating committee as we had in the past. So my understanding is that they would be nominations from the floor. So we just need to talk about that, about how we're going to address that and what are the mechanics of it, being that this is a change for the way we've operated, just so everyone is informed. And also so everyone who is either considering either remaining on the board, stepping up to the board, or stepping off the board has the time to make that decision. So any questions on any of that? Nope. Okay. On to item 8, standing committee updates. Gene is not here. I understand he may be out of town. I'm not sure, but I haven't received anything from him. Does anyone else have any information on the standing committees? Actually, last month they were dark, so I guess not much.
Well, I attended part of the Wellbeing Reimagined Committee, and the speaker was from the Huntington Alzheimer's Center, Huntington Beach Alzheimer's Center, I believe. And she was talking about their programming, and then she had a game brain exercise to just kind of show how you can try to keep active with your mental gymnastics. And talked about how they have a Medicare program that helps caregivers, I believe. So that's what that committee talked about.
Okay, great. Thank you, Meredith. Mm-hmm. Any reports from any other committees? Okay. All right. Well, thank you. And we will now go on to senior center liaisons. Carolyn and I had worked on that list. So Carolyn is the new senior center liaison coordinator. And it's a challenge because there are more senior centers in the county than there are members on SCAC.
Right.
So some members have more than one senior center they're covering. And, try to make it so it's one that's close to you or one that you work with, but that does change over time as our membership changes. And, but most of the contact should be by phone or via email. And I did have a question from a new member saying, well, shouldn't I be volunteering at the senior center in my city? It's like, yes, you can volunteer there, but that doesn't necessarily mean if you're the liaison that you're having to volunteer at that center. You can volunteer at whatever center you want to, but for the liaison, you're the one who's responsible for the flow of information. So you were sent the new liaison spreadsheet, and I hope you all took a look at it. This is not something that needs to be approved. This is just something that, you know, we work on and we update. And but Carolyn and I wanted all of you to take a look at it just to see, because Carolyn's kind of complicated filling in those slots. To see if anyone saw any glitches before she sent it out. And she will send that out Along with that, our last meeting, our flyer was requested with some contact information for the Office on Aging. So Carolyn, I'm sorry I spoke too long. Why don't you take it away?
I think it's funny. We just did this a few days ago and Phil is still on it. So you see, this is a flexible moving document, a living document changes. Before I say anything, I was wondering, since this has been going on for a while, if the those of you who are here, if you have any kudos for it, where you think it worked, if you think it has problems or glitches or it doesn't work sometimes, or if you have suggestions. And then I'll say a couple of ideas I had. But before I jump in and start doing that, I'd really like to find out, you know, what you think of the program and if you think it's working and all that sort of, or how, and really how we can make it better is the big part. It's perfect.
Well, I think it's for communication.
Yeah.
From SCAC and to SCAC. So I think a lot of it is dependent on the senior center director, their receptiveness, and the persistence of the SCAC member, whether or not they're going to really try to make that connection and have that conversation. So
it probably just varies.
Yeah. I don't know what anyone else has input on.
I think that if we can make it meaningful and natural with a monthly check-in, in my opinion, that works better than always having questions to ask, which some people feel more comfortable with, but then it can feel kind of stilted. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So that's a great idea. Maybe a monthly check-in. And would that monthly check-in be maybe the week before our SCAC general meeting to make sure they know that their participants at their center are welcome?
So that's essentially the beginning of the month, mm-hmm. which is a good way to remember it, you know, think about it. I was trying to think of if there was some incentives that we could do. I have to always be careful not to make it like, you know, a teaching thing. You get a prize. But I can't help it. I did wonder if there was, though, like, maybe if they were doing email, except that phone is just as good or maybe even better. But with email, I was thinking if they sent a copy, let's say to me, then I would know they had done it and I could reward them in some way. Maybe that's childish, but I wonder if we, you know, I was just trying to think of a way to make it a little bit more fun and some kind of recognition for having done it or whatever.
I don't know that we want to stipulate how the communication is going to take place. Right. For most of us, email is more convenient. And for most of the senior center directors, it's more convenient because they read it when, you know, at their, whatever their time availability is. But I know for a couple of our SCAC members, email may present some challenges and that's not their preferred method of communication. And there's a lot to be said for voice to voice.
Right.
And also, I know some of our senior our members actually go into the senior center and have, you know, a conversation with the director.
You know, it would be neat if we could have everyone try to go in the next 6 months for an in-person visit and then take a picture of them with the senior center staff or with the seniors. And then we could have a visual about our partnership that we could then use to promote that we're in this together.
That's great. With the SCAC liaison, the senior center and their staff. And we could either then do a flyer or maybe, I don't know what the capability is on the SCAC webpage, maybe post those there. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great idea.
That reminds me of the getting to know you thing that we did a couple of years ago. I think it's a great idea. Pictures are wonderful. You know, like one of our local newspapers had a thing where if you if you showed the newspaper in Greece or something, they would print it, you know, and it was just fun to see, wow, they took our funny little newspaper to Greece, you know, but the same idea, people like visuals. Mm-hmm. I think we should do that.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. So
should we say by the end of the year? 6 months might be better.
I think maybe by the end of the year, because I don't know, are all the, our senior center in Laguna Niguel is open, but are all of them open and fully operational?
That might be in flux because the surge is coming. I know that you guys probably already have friends and family members. I know I do too, that have Omicron or the B, whatever it is, variant right now. So I'm wondering, we might not want to go out in August.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. That's why maybe just between now and the end of the year. Well, the end of the year is November.
Right.
So maybe between now and November, and then if it's not canceled again,
right,
at our holiday get together, our luncheon after the meeting, which is not part of the meeting, we have Carolyn can give a little prize.
Okay. And we could call it the fall surge, or, you know, something about being fall, because it would be September, October, November. Well, not really November. It'd have to be done by then.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but, you know, if the senior centers are open, they could do it in August, right?
Yeah, they could do it. I would say anytime between now and beginning in November.
And then if they can't do it, I think almost all of our members can do Zoom. They can also meet with the senior center staff and take a screenshot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, we're moving into our new world. We've moved there. Okay, I think that would be good. And I did notice as we were working, I printed a map which included almost all the towns, and the north is really limited. So I want to just ditto what Elaine said to as we try to find new members, if we could get some, you know, Fullerton, you know, up north, then that would be helpful. So,
and then as far as the names for the liaison, so Carolyn, you can take Phil Orland off,
right?
Luckily,
now why do some of them have two names?
He was doubled up.
Yeah.
Well, Phil was doubled up because we knew he had been given a health waiver.
Yeah,
we knew that would be a challenge.
Yeah. So. Okay. So we'll take Phil off, and then we'll just continue to change as changes occur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to answer your question, Meredith, some of them do have two names because that city may have more than one center. And it's between those two SCAC members to figure out.
Okay.
So some cities you contact the director at each center. Some cities you contact one director, and they oversee multiple centers. So it's for those two to figure out how they do it. So I know Carolyn and Linda both cover Irvine, and they've figured out how they're going to handle it, and they make sure Irvine gets covered. So
that makes sense. My only other suggestion or question is, could we have this like on a Google Doc so that it doesn't have to be resent all the time? Or some kind of a document so that when you make changes, Carolyn, everyone can just look and it's fresh.
I'm not experienced working that way.
Neither am I.
So, I mean, I think if it arrives, I mean, they don't have to print it, so we're not wasting paper. They can just look at it if they want to. When it arrives, it draws attention to itself. If it's in a doc, you have to get them to go to that doc, right?
Or they're totally right. Everyone just has different ways of working. For me, I hate getting extra emails, but to your point, I think it probably works best for most people.
Okay. Well, that's all I have. I think it's a really important thing that we're trying to do, and we'll just succeed as well as we can, and hopefully more so in the future.
Okay. Any other comments on the senior center liaisons? Okay. Well, thank you everyone for your input. That was a really good discussion, and I think we got some good ideas there. Moving on, John Pointer, do you have anything for us on CSL elections or CSL?
Well, yes, you all are aware that the elections were conducted in June. So we have approximately 70 CSL members. Maximum staff, 120. We haven't hit 120 for years, but we're continuing to try and get it up to somewhere between 80 and 90. Just a couple of additional items. You may be aware that PSA 19 and 25, that's LA City and LA County, have merged. So they're now just one AAA advisory organization. There is an event in September sponsored by CDA on the 20th that is receiving publicity. At this point in time, they're talking about it being in person, but as Meredith mentioned, I think there's some concern about whether they will be able to meet safely in September with the surge and how extremely contagious it is. So there is allegedly a plan for a virtual format as well. Whether they would be offering both or one or the other, I don't have any more information in regards to that. One last bit of information. The annual legislative session for CSL is the last week in October. We have not determined whether we will be able to meet in person or not. While that is our goal, one of the important aspects of meeting is the fact that you're in the Capitol. Meeting in a convention room at a hotel doesn't seem to have the same, I'll call it glamour. that might be if you were meeting physically in the Senate or Assembly chambers.
Right.
So if one did that, in my humble opinion, might as well just meet virtually. So anyway, we'll see. We have been attempting to get an answer from the Sergeant at Arms for the Senate and the Assembly on using the Capitol, and that request is over 60 days old, and it's wait and see. So we'll see. So I'm lastly extremely happy to report that 6 of the 8 top 10 legislative proposals that were picked up in February are still going through the legislative process. So that's really exciting. So we'll have more to report when the legislators return from recess, and we'll see what kind of action occurs on those. So more to report in future meetings. Thank you, Elaine. That's all I've got.
Okay. And John, so, you know, I talked to Senator Bates regarding AB 2511, and because that was at the end of June, that's the one to require skilled nursing facilities to have backup power. And towards the end of June, it was put in the suspense file. So I talked to her, you know, to see what she could do about getting it out of suspense. Yeah, that's usually where bills go to die, but it's like, this is just common sense that they would have to have backup power. So I don't know if you've talked to her or if you're planning to talk to her, but that may help.
You know, the author is Assemblymember Irwin. So I sent you an email from the staffer for Assemblymember Irwin, and they believe there's simply a technicality that was clarified and that it will be coming out of suspense in the Senate appropriations upon return of the legislators from their summer recess. So they concur. It's a no-brainer. And it has been flying along through every committee. So I remain optimistic that this is merely a bump.
My only disappointment with that bill, and please correct me if I'm wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, is that it's for skilled nursing facilities, but it's not necessarily for assisted living.
You're right. I'll have to check.
It should include assisted living too, but
I'll have to check with the staffer that what I was speaking to. Let me look back into that. I think you're right, but let me check. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, no, it should include assisted living. Meredith.
What is the bill number that the Office on Aging supported for being able to talk amongst agencies? I would like to have that.
Oh, I can't think of it off the top of my head. I'll look through my emails, unless John remembers.
What is it, Meredith?
It's the bill that Erica has told us about, where different agencies can talk to each other about a client.
Yeah, and that was the one that it was surprising to me that OCCS actually took a position on. And so then I took it to the Association of California Cities, Orange County, and we also supported it.
I would love it, because I'm meeting with a federal group, and I think it's a really good concept for coordination of care that California has achieved that is common sense.
Okay, I'll look for that and send it to you.
Just remember, thank you so much. Sometimes common sense has nothing to do with it.
I know. That's why I was like, yay.
Yeah. Common sense. Yeah. No, who has the dollars and who's lobbying, unfortunately. Okay. Anything else or any questions for John? Okay. Moving on to members in good standing. Elizabeth, is there anything we need to address?
Well, this isn't in good standing, but regarding attendance at SCAC meetings. Carol Moore, she's the mayor of Laguna Woods. Mm-hmm. She has 4 absences, February, March, June. Well, actually, June, I don't think, wouldn't count.
No.
But July. So we've got just a second here, Carol Moore. So that's 3 absences. Okay. And then there are 3 people who have not turned in any hours in spite of the emails that I have sent. Linda Barcelona, Jim Levy, and Patty Mouton.
Okay.
So we have 7 months essentially with nothing.
Yeah. And actually, I had a conversation with Linda, and I'll call you. Did I call you about that, or are you still on my list for phone calls? Mm-hmm. We'll talk about those. Okay. I think some of those have some extenuating circumstances. Uh-huh. So we'll talk about those. Okay. Announcements.
I have a question.
Carolyn.
Okay, so I took the TAC job, and I don't remember what it stands for right this second. But anyway, Elizabeth had it. And so I took it, and I've been to the meetings, and then I don't know what to do. I make a report to them, and then I do almost like minutes, and then I don't know what, you know, I sent it to you and Erica. I don't know what's supposed to happen to it. It seems like I'm doing a lot of paperwork, and we're not getting it out.
Well, shouldn't that go out with the meeting packet? Elizabeth, can you?
Yes, right. The whole point of the TAC people meeting is to get the information and then pass it on to your own commission, whatever, like SCAC.
Yeah.
So we know what other PSAs are doing.
Well, now that isn't happening as much as some of the last time we had, I think it was time before last, I'd have to look at it. But there were 3 presentations which were outstanding. And one of them, somebody at the Irvine Senior Council was very concerned about you know, the whole thing with home health care and not enough people. And one of the presentations had to do with getting more of, you know, people in that position. And it wasn't just wishing, you know, there were plans. So, you know, I think it's important that people find it out. So who, I think that one, even though it's now a little bit dated, maybe could go out because I think
so if you could send that to Desiree, and Desiree, if you could send that out to SCAC and just say this is a report you may not have received. And then when you have future reports, send them you know, to myself, Erica, and Desiree, and ask Desiree to include that with the agenda pack if that goes out to the SCAC members.
Okay.
Yeah, because you know, it's when we used to meet in person, we would all pick up these reports.
Right. I remember them sitting on
the table. So I think some of that has kind of gone, you know, has slipped a little bit. Yeah. So Desiree, if you could please send those out, that would be appreciated.
Okay, I'll send it to you. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, because it's all good information, and that's the whole point of having a representative on TAC is to get the information.
Yeah. And sometimes the area reports are good. This time they took up, you know, 95% of the time on the presentations, which were excellent. And, you know, so the personal one, the ones from the committee members were report only, written report only. Mm-hmm. So, and that works too.
Okay. Thank you. Any other announcements? Nothing else? Got a quiet group, but we had a quiet group. We talked about a lot. So, okay. So we have, and what we should be thinking about just as SCAC members in general, so we're coming towards the end of the year, and be thinking about what are we going to be presenting to the Board of Supervisors in the first half of next year. So be looking for what are those needs of Orange County seniors that are within the county's purview that we should be getting information on, investigating, so that we can serve Orange County seniors by identifying the needs and requesting the resources. So it seems kind of like, you know, because it seems like when we have that workshop at the beginning of the year, it's kind of a fast start. But this is towards the end of the year where we should be thinking about that and preparing for it. And then maybe even getting the information or lining up the speakers for that.
Do we have any information on what the Board of Supervisors' response has been on the ones that you asked for this year? Probably a little early, but.
It is a little early and sometimes the response, you know, sometimes it's we've planted the seed. So, you know, and I know those very specific asks that we had during COVID for the iPads and the get set up, those were funded and met and have all been taken care of. Our last, our five priorities, which we delivered in our normal course of our year, are not so tangible.
Right.
So, we'll keep following that.
This is Meredith. The other thing that I think that the committees are still kind of pondering about is a lot of these things that affect Orange County actually come from the state. And so it takes a lot of discretion that I think people are still building on figuring out what is the Board of Supervisors able to influence. And should the Board of Supervisors be supporting our wishes at the state level for state things? I don't know if I'm explaining myself correctly, but that's what it seems like the committee struggled with as part of the learning process.
Yeah, and that's some of it, if you'll recall, and I don't have it in front of me now, but when we delivered the top five priorities, some of it was recognition that it's not in the Board of Supervisors' purview, but we asked for them to advocate for certain things. And that may be, again, and advocacy can be considered a county resource. So, you know, that some of the things, realistically, it comes from the state. So we need to kind of, I guess, provide the information to the Board of Supervisors to speak up on certain items.
Right.
Like we need more respite and caregiver funding in Orange County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Seeing as there is nothing else, I've got my list of things to do. Our next meeting will be August 23rd at 9:30. And that is just a few days before the Laguna Niguel Sea Country Festival, which is August 27th to 28th. So I'll see all of you here in Laguna Niguel that weekend after our next
meeting. Our fair city.
That's right. We've got a lot of fun planned for the festival. So with that, thank you for all that you're doing and for being at this meeting. And we are now adjourned.
Thank you.
Have a great day.